We are live.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it, thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning. Good morning, Mother. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I'm blessed, and I'm highly favored.
Ooh, can the church say amen? This morning, when I woke up, I was looking outside, and it looked like this white foam across the grass. I actually sent you a picture of it, Mother. And the only thing that
Thank
I
you.
Could think of when I looked at it was manna from heaven.
Manna wow.
Like the dew in the morning. That was a reminder of God's precious gift. Like the dew in the morning.
Look at God.
That's upon your soul. It's like, that's upon my heart. And I thought, this is absolutely beautiful. And when I first saw it, I saw it from my living room. And I was looking out the window because the sun had hit it just right. And I was looking out, and I'm like, did it snow? Because at first it looked like snow. But then when I got a better look, I'm like, no, that is like a morning dew, just kind of like a little freeze over, but it's like a dew look. And I thought, that is gorgeous. And so
Amen.
I just had to take a picture of it and send it to you. Like the dew in the morning, may it rest upon your heart. And looking at the cornfield and seeing, you know, the dew over the ground and just understanding and knowing how good God is and how much he loves us, that he wakes us up in the morning. You know, this morning, you know, I woke up at 6, but then I fell back to sleep. And I was dreaming. Ask me what I was dreaming about. I can't tell you. But whatever I was dreaming, I felt I call it my God tingle. And I'm like, my clock didn't go off because I have another alarm that goes off after my 6 o'clock in case I fall back to sleep because the lesson's been ready since yesterday. So I didn't have to get the lesson ready or anything. I just, you know, needed to just kind of review some things and look over some things. And then I'm thinking, wow, God. And it was something about it that touched my spirit, that God woke me up and that he gave me a great night's rest. Did he have to? Absolutely not. But I thank him for what I have. You know, when I look at my grandson sleeping, and I heard my granddaughter getting up because she leaves very shortly for school because she goes to school on the other side of town. And I thought, Lord, you did this. And I am grateful. I am very, very grateful. And I get all emotional because when you think about the blessings that you have, even when you think you have so much stuff that you got to get done, and then you look up, and you can do nothing more than say, Lord, I thank you. Thank you for all you've done for me. As the song says, you woke me up this morning and started me
Amen.
On my way.
Amen.
And that's all I can say is thank you, God. And I'm grateful. Mother Valerie, bring us in this morning.
Amen. Amen and amen and amen again. Good morning, people of God. You know, I like what she said this morning. when God woke her up. I don't wake up by a clock. I mean, I look at the clock when I get up, but God wakes me up every morning. A clock do not wake you up. God wakes you up. And I don't even use the clock. I just don't. And said, if God don't wake me up, then it's a win-win situation. I'm in heaven. A win-win situation. God is just good. When he woke her up this morning, her eyes just beheld the glory of God. Lord, I want to thank and praise you for who you are and thank and praise you for doing it again. You did it again and again, and you'll do it again. You'll give us the early morning sunrise. You'll just do it again and again, for you are a great God. Thank you, God, for all that you do, will do, and have done. We praise your holy name. We give you praise and honor and glory for being Abba, our Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name, bless this lesson. Let it go accordingly to your word. And bless Pastor Bridget and all your pastors, Pastor Jess, everybody that delivers the word of God to your people. Thank you, God, for another beautiful, great, great, great day. For the sun is shining. It's no snow on the ground. It was just dew, like the dew in the morning. Birds look like they might be singing. I haven't heard them, but I'm looking at them. And God, oh, God, we're thankful. We are thankful. In Jesus' name, amen, and amen, and amen,
amen.
And amen. And amen, and amen, and amen, and amen, and amen. So be it. So be it. I can say amen 20 or 30 times. So be it. Amen. Because God is good. In Jesus' name. This is November the 14th. Almost half of November is gone. Wow.
Yeah,
and
think about it. Thanksgiving is next week, Mother. Thanksgiving is next week.
God.
It came too quick. I am not ready.
This
not
is
at
so
all.
Beautiful. And the weather is still nice outside. I remember for Thanksgiving that they were looking at cabbage patch dolls and sitting out there freezing all night long, standing, laying in front of the store. Cabbage patch style, and it was so cold. It was sub-zero temperatures during the time when old cabbage patch came out. But the parents
were
late
in retail. I was in retail, working retail when they came out, and it was not pretty. It was not. You had folks fighting. You had parents getting in trouble trying to steal other people's dolls out of their carts. It was awful. I got to the point where I couldn't stand looking at them little ugly dolls.
They were ugly. I couldn't understand.
Trouble. I'm telling you, they were trouble, Mother. Those little dolls caused more fights in retail than you can imagine. You know, I remember having some little girl fall out because she couldn't get a doll and her daddy couldn't get it for her. I mean, can we say spoiled rotten? Somebody else got the last doll and he was like, well, I'll give you whatever you want. And this lady looked at him like, you must be some kind of crazy. And then this little girl just fell out. See, my daughter, she looked at him. She's like, well, my daughter wants yours too. And I got it. And, you know, I looked him up and down and kept on, put her money on the counter and paid for her doll. Looked him up and down again and his little whiny daughter and kept on going. She's like, oh, no, I'm not giving my child's Christmas present to you because you didn't get here in enough time, and I did. And as you said, Mother, she stood out in the cold early to get in, to be one of the first ones to get
laid out in the cold.
And she got her job, and she was not giving it up because she said, I was in this cold line. I was living in Illinois at the time.
They were ugly.
Ugly.
They looked like a cabbage. They were ugly.
But you know what? Right now, those dolls are probably worth, if you have a pristine doll, you probably got some money. Seriously.
Mm.
Because, you know, kids tore them up. You know, I remember I have one of those little dolls myself. Remember, I think it was called the Dinosaur Movie. and they had the little baby dinosaur, and he'd do all kind of devilment, and then he'd look and say, I'm a baby. Gotta love me.
Wow.
And I got one of those little dinosaurs. And I have to keep him hidden. I'm a grandson. Take him from me. But every time I look at him, I always think, I'm the baby. Gotta love me. Every time I see him. But we got to get started in our word this morning. And I will be coming this morning out of the book of Ezekiel, chapter 19 and 20. Mother Valerie will be back this morning in the Psalms, 125th Psalm, verses 1 through 5. Our proverb this morning is 28 and 22, and we are being Hebrews chapter 10. And I know one thing, Mother's going to tear it up, because we was like, whoo, every time we open the book of Ezekiel, Mother, are we not looking at it being right now, today? I was listening to the news, and a Florida legislator, oh, Mother, she broke my heart as she pleaded, and she cried, and she asked for a resolution. Even though we all know resolutions are not binding, they're just a way of expression. And she asked for this resolution to send to Israel for a ceasefire, because there are so many children that have been killed in Gaza. And one of the questions she said was, how many more Palestinians need to die? And one of her colleagues said back, how many more Palestinians need to die? Colleague sent back, all of them. All of them. And her resolution did not get passed, because someone said that all of the Palestinians should die. And the only thing that went through my mind was, when did we, men, decide that we are God and that we determine who should live and who should die? When did we get in the position of God? They all should die. How awful. How inhumane. All I could think of is what you do to the least among God's people, God will do to you. Whether you like them or not, Palestinian children are human. We are all under the same umbrella of God. He created each and every one of us in his own image. And I'm sure that when everything is said and done, a lot of truth will come out, that some folks who are wishing for death on others will have to look at themselves in the mirror. They'll believe, as Ezekiel spoke, the Lord will send a latter rain. He will send a latter rain. And we will all have to do some self-evaluating. I got my tea, Mother. Time to go to work.
Amen.
Moreover, take up a lamentation for the princesses of Israel and say, what is your mother? A lioness? She lay down among the lions, among the young lions. She nourished her cubs. She brought up one of her cubs, and he became a young lion. He learned to catch prey, and he devoured men. the nations also heard of him. He was trapped in their pit, and they brought him with chains to the land of Egypt. When she saw that she waited, that our hope was lost, she took another of her cubs and made him a young lion. He roved among the lions and became a young lion. He learned to catch prey. He devoured men. He knew their desolate places and laid waste. The land with its fullness was desolated by the noise of his roaring. Then the nations set against him from the province on every side and spread their net over him. He was trapped in their pit. They put him in a cage with chains and brought him to the king of Babylon. They brought him in nets that his voice could no longer be heard on the mountains of Israel. Your mother was like a vine in your bloodline, planted by the waters, fruitful and full of branches. Because of many waters, she had strong branches for scepters of rulers. She towered in stature above the thick branches and was seen in her height amidst the dense foliage. But she was plucked up in fury. She was cast down to the ground, and the east wind dried her fruit. Her strong branches were broken, and with it the fire consumed them. And now she is planted in the wilderness, in a dry and thirsty land. Fires come, and from a rod of her branches, and devour her fruit, so that she has no strong branch, a scepter for ruling. But this is a lamentation and has become a lamentation. This is a lamentation. We have got to pray. It is a lamentation to see over 12,000 people dead, with many being children. And it can do nothing more if you're human, if you have a heart of God, to pray. You know, and I was looking at one of my studies. It says, who do the lioness and cubs represent? The mother lioness is either the nation of Judah or its capital city, Jerusalem. The first cub, or lion, mentioned was King Jehoash, whom the Egyptian pharaoh took captive in 609 B.C. The second was either King Jehoiakim or his successor, Zedekiah, both of whom were taken into Babylonian exile. How were captives led away by hooks? Conquerors would sometimes humiliate a defeated king by putting hooks or rings attached to a leash through the victim's nose, jaw, or lip. Apparently, the same technique was used with wild animals. 2 Kings 19 and 28, as well as the Assyrian inscriptions and artwork, give evidence of the practice in the Middle East, where they would put hooks within the mouth of the enemies that were captured or through the lips or through the nose. In 19 and 10, how was the mother like a fruitful vine? The vine probably stands for Judah or Jerusalem rather than a literal queen mother. In light of the context, the fruitfulness of the vine probably refers to the glory and the strength of the divinic dynasty, which never lacked a ruler. And as we go into our 20th chapter, it says this: it came to pass in the seventh year, in the 15th month, on the 10th day of the month, that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and set before me. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, speak to the elders of Israel and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, have you come to inquire of me as I live, says the Lord God? I will not be inquired by you. Will you judge them, son of man? will you judge them and make known to them the abominations of their fathers? Say to them, thus says the Lord. Thus says the Lord. God is not playing. Listen, I'm not playing with y'all. I'm not. Not playing. Playing. And then he tells them this. He says, as I live, says the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. Will you judge them, son of man? Will you judge them? Then make known to them the abominations of their fathers. And you wonder today, is that said down the road? Is that what's going to be said down the road? When things from our time come up with things from times past, that abominations are going on. To say to them, thus says the Lord God, on the day when I chose Israel and raised my hand in an oath to the descendants of the house of Jacob and made myself known to them in the land of Egypt, I raised my hand in an oath to them saying, I am the Lord your God. On that day I raised my hand in an oath to them to bring them out of the land of Egypt into a land that I had searched out for them, blowing with milk and honey, the glory of all lands. Then I said to them, each of you, throw away the abominations which are before his eyes and do not defile yourselves with the idols of Egypt. I am the Lord your God, but they rebelled against me and would not obey me. They did not all cast away the abominations which were before their eyes, nor did they forsake the idols of Egypt. Then I said, I will pour out my fury on them and fulfill my anger against them in the midst of the land of Egypt. But I acted for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned before the Gentiles among whom they were, in whose sight I had made myself known to them to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Therefore I made them go out of the land of Egypt and brought them into the wilderness. And I gave them my statutes and showed them my judgment, which if a man does, he shall live by them. 613 statutes. But the one that God gave us, his commandments, the law, them top 10, written by the hand of God. When you think about the law, that's what you think. Them top 10, thou shalt have no other God before me. God gave us an edit in Exodus chapter 20. He told us how to live. And then he told us again more laws and statutes in the book of Leviticus. And then he came back and gave us the top 10 again in the book of Deuteronomy before they were able to walk in to the promised land. He said it again, what they need to do. Hard head. My mama used to always say a hard head makes a soft butt. And
amen.
You know, that's what happened.
Amen.
Some of them didn't make it into the promised land. Even Moses didn't make it in. After 40 years of dealing with crazy, he didn't make it in because he had one lap and he could only look. God gave him eyes to see everything. All of the land flowing with milk and honey. All the fruit, all the islands. He showed him everything. And then he died 120 years old. He died. In vigor, in good shape, wasn't sick, wasn't infirm, but he died. And then God did his body. And then he brought up Joshua. And he told Joshua, just like I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. And then he put it in there, I will never leave you or forsake you. God gave it to us more than one time. He has given it to us all through his word that he will never leave us or forsake us. But we got to believe in him. We got to trust in him. And we got to know that he is God and that he loves us more than we could ever imagine. And he says, moreover, I also gave them my Sabbath. To be a sign between them and me that they might know that I am the Lord who sanctified them. And we have forgotten the Sabbath. We created it our own. Well, Sunday is the Sabbath, and that's what we do. But it's not. And we can't change the word of God because somebody in a particular religion told us to. The Sabbath is the Sabbath. And we have forgotten how to worship. There should be Saturday church all over the world.
Amen.
Not just within the Jewish community, the Israelite community. But in all communities, we need to take that, the Sabbath, and put it by the word of God. And I know there's those that say, oh, it changed with the resurrection. It became a different day. Jesus didn't say that, did he? Did he say he came to change the law? He did not. The only thing that changed with Jesus was the sacrificial lambs and rams and goats and all of those things. That's what changed. But other than that, the Sabbath is the Sabbath. And it says, yet the house of Israel rebelled against me in the wilderness. They did not walk in my statutes. They despised my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. And they greatly defiled my Sabbath. Come on now. Then I said, I will pour out my fury on them in the wilderness to consume them, but I acted for my name's sake that I should not be profaned before the Gentiles, in whose sight I had brought them out. So I also raised my hand in an oath to them in the wilderness that I would not bring them into the land which I had given them, flowing with milk and honey, the glory of all lands, because they despised my judgments and did not walk in my statutes, but profaned my Sabbath, for their hearts went after their idols. Nevertheless, my eyes spared them from destruction. I did not make an end of them in the wilderness, but I said to their children in the wilderness, do not walk in the statutes of your fathers, nor observe their judgments, nor defile yourselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. Walk in my statutes, keep my judgments, and do them. Hallow my Sabbath. And they will be a sign between me and you, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. Notwithstanding, the children rebelled against me. They did not walk in my statutes and were not careful to observe my judgments, which if a man does, he shall live by them. But if they profane my Sabbath, it's all through this word, then I said I will pour out my fury on them and fulfill in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew my hand and acted for my name's sake that I should not be profaned in the sight of the Gentiles, in which sight I had brought them out. Also, I raised my hand in an oath to those in the wilderness that I would scatter them among the Gentiles and disperse them throughout the country because they had not executed my judgments, but had despised my statutes, profaned my Sabbaths, and their eyes were fixed on their father's idol. Therefore, I also gave them up to statutes that were not good and judgments by which they could not live, and I pronounced them unclean because of their ritual gifts, in that they caused their firstborn to pass through the fire, that I might make them desolate, and that they may know that I am the Lord. Therefore, son of man, speak to the house of Israel. Whew. And say to them, thus says the Lord God, in this too your fathers have blasphemed me by being unfaithful to me. when I brought them into the land concerning which I had raised my hand in an oath to give them, and they saw all the high hills and all the thick trees. There they offered their sacrifices and provoked me with their offerings. There they also sent up their sweet aroma and poured out their drink offerings. Then I said to them, what is this high place to which you go? So its name is called, therefore says the house of Israel. Say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, are you defiling yourself in the manner of your fathers and committing harlotry according to their abominations? But when you offer your gifts and make your sons pass through the fire, you defile yourself with all your idols, even to this day. So shall I be inquired of by you, O house of Israel? As I live, says the Lord God, I will not be inquired of by you. What you have in your mind shall never be when you say, we will be like the Gentiles, like the families in other countries, serving wood and stone. As I live, says the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with fury poured out, I will rule over you. I will bring you out from the people and gather you out of the countries where you are scattered with a mighty hand, with an outstretched arm, and with fury poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the peoples, and there I will plead my case with you face to face, just as I pleaded my case with your fathers in the wilderness of the land of Egypt. So I will plead my case with you, says the Lord God. I will make you pass under the rock, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. I will purge the rebels from among you, and those who transgress against me, I will bring them out of the country where they dwell, but they shall not enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord. As for you, O house of Israel, says the Lord God, go, serve every one of you his idols. And hereafter, if you will not obey me, but profane my holy name no more, then your gifts and your idols, with your gifts and your idols, were on my holy mountain, on the mountain high of Israel, says the Lord God. There all the house of Israel, all of them in the land, shall serve me. There I will accept them, and there I will require their offerings and the first fruits of your sacrifice. Together with all your holy things, I will accept you as a sweet aroma when I bring you out from the people and gather you out of the country where you have been scattered. And I will be hallowed in you before the Gentiles. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I bring you into the land of Israel, into the country for which I raised my hand in an oath to give to your father, and there you shall remember your ways and all your doings with which you were defiled, and you shall loathe yourself in your own sight because of all the evil that you have committed. Then you shall know that I am the Lord when I have dealt with you for my name's sake, not according to your wicked ways, nor according to your corrupt doings, O house of Israel, says the Lord God. Furthermore, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, son of man, set your face toward the south. Preach against the south and prophesy against the fourth land, the south, and say to the fourth of the south, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will kindle a fire in you, and it shall devour every green tree, every dry tree in you, and blazing flame shall be quenched, and all faces from the south to the north shall be scorched by it. All flesh shall see that I, the Lord, have kindled it, and it shall not be quenched. Then I said, ah, Lord God, they say of me, does he not speak parable? And going back to some life lessons from Dr. Charles Stanley for Ezekiel 20 and 14, and for those that are just joining us, we are coming out of the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each of the Year. And I tell you, tell a friend if they want Bible study. We are here Sunday through Friday, 7 o'clock a.m. on Blog Talk Radio. This is Moving Forward with Minister Bridget. And my co-host is Mother Valerie. And I just tell you, we both love the Word of God. And I'm grateful for the opportunity to co-host with Mother Valerie, as she will be coming forward in just a moment. But to go over some life lessons and just some biblical information from Ezekiel chapter 20. I acted for my namesake that it should not be profaned before the Gentiles. God rescued the stiff-necked Israelites out of Egyptian slavery, not because they deserved it, but as a demonstration of his grace and mercy. He wants the world to both see and enjoy his love and goodness. Ezekiel 20 and 25, I also gave them up to statutes that were not good and judgments of which they could not live. If we refuse to live by God's wisdom, we will have to live by our own. And that's like choosing a square wheel stone cycle. Human wisdom always fails in ways that no one sees coming. You got folks that have made up statutes, made up law, made up doctrine that have absolutely nothing to do with what God says. Is what they say. You can't do this. Your hair's got to be down to your bottom. You got no. And if your hair don't go to the bottom, then you are an abomination as a woman because your hair didn't grow. I mean, all kind of foolishness like that. You know, men, you got to put your right foot in first. And when you put on your clothes, you got to go right to left, right to left, right to left. Your right shoe, your left shoe. When you put on your pants, your right pants leg, then your left pants leg. You know, everything right to left. Put your right arm in and then your left arm in. All that kind of foolishness. You feel like you're doing the hokey pokey getting dressed. But that is some laws in some communities. Ezekiel 20 and 44, I have dealt with you for my namesake. If God did not deal with us on the basis of his mercy and grace, none of us would have any hope of a happy future. But because he acts according to his loving nature, we have the brightest future imaginable. And I love this. In my other study, it says, the seventh year of what? The seventh year of King Jehoiakim's exile, Ezekiel had been taken to Babylon that same year. The precise dating gives a message of a formal quality and suggests it meant a special significance. And that was verse number 20. Verse number 1 in chapter 20, came to pass in the fifth month on the 10th day of the month that certain of the elders of Israel came to inquire of the Lord and set before me. It took them 7 years to inquire of God. Why should God turn away from those seeking him? These leaders and the people they represented were not genuinely seeking the Lord with remorseful hearts. In their eyes, the Lord was just one of several gods to placate and worship. The Lord demanded uncompromising allegiance and refused to tolerate such pluralism. It says, what does an uplifted hand mean? A solemn gesture, which often accompanies oaths similar to what is done in modern-day court systems. And if you ever notice in church, you will see people with their hands up because they're giving an oath to God as they praise him. I will worship you. I will praise you forever. Ooh, with long life, you will satisfy me. That's what David said with his hands up. Why would God be concerned about what others think of him? God is concerned that human beings correctly understand him for their own good. He takes into consideration how his decisions will affect their perception of his character. Such was the case at the time of the Exodus. Though Israel worshipped idols in Egypt and angered the Lord, he still delivered them from their bondage so that observers would not question his faithfulness or conclude that he was too weak to rescue his people. A last thing, and then Mother Valerie, it's all yours. And it says, how was Sabbath assigned to Israel? The Sabbath observance would serve as an ongoing reminder that Israel was the Lord's chosen covenant people set aside to serve him in a special way. How were the Sabbaths desecrated? God established the Sabbath as a day of rest and worship. The people desecrated the Sabbath when they worked, traded, or transacted business and ignored God's call to worship him. Material prosperity became more important than praising God and growing in faith. And we see that on today. All of those things which we know are happening now. And we thank God for the word. And I just had more, but I'm going to give it over to Mother Valerie. If time permits, I'll come back and give you one more thing from Ezekiel chapter 20. But Mother Valerie, I'm turning it over to you as we finish up the word this morning.
Amen. Good morning. Good morning again. The title is Vengeance is Mine. I will repay. The Lord will judge his people. God said he will repay. Ezekiel 22, it said, I withdrew my hand and act for my name's sake, that it should not be profaned in the sight of the Gentiles. God said he would repay, but yet he withdrew his hand. God is a mighty God, and he gives us grace when we don't even deserve grace. He did not give them what they deserved. They kept blaspheming his name. They was rebellious and didn't do what he told them to do. He said he would repay, but he withdrew his hand. God is just good, and he gives mercy. Psalms 125, 1 and 5. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest on the land allotted to the righteous, lest the righteous reach out their hands to iniquity. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and to those who are upright in their hearts. As for such as turn aside to their crooked ways, the Lord shall lead them away with the workers of iniquity. Peace, peace, peace be upon Israel. And peace is not with Israel right now. I mean, there's a war going on. But it said peace. Peace be upon Israel. Proverbs 28:22. A man with an evil eye hastens after riches, does not consider that poverty will come upon him. The Bible is true. Poverty will come upon him just as God's words have said. Hebrews 10:1-18. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the things, can never, with the same sacrifice which they offer continually year by year, make those who approach perfect. For then would they have ceased to offer? For the worshippers, once purified, would have no more consciousness of sin. But in those sacrifices, there is a reminder of sins every year. For it is not possible, it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. Therefore, when he came into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sacrifice for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. It is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying sacrifice and offerings, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire nor have pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By that will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Once and for all, he died on the cross, gave his body for remission of sins, and all we have to do is repent. And every priest stands ministering daily and often repeatedly the same sacrifice, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. But the Holy Spirit also witnessed to us, for after he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I'll pour out my laws into their hearts and their minds, and I will write them. Then he adds, their sin, their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. He puts it into a sea of forgiveness. You try to bring up your sins to God. God says, what sin? He said, Lord, you know, yesterday I committed a murder. He said, what sin? What sins are you talking about? God don't remember. He chooses not to remember. He put it into a sea of forgiveness. And that's something that we need to do, too, because we're always looking back. You know, I was this, I was that. For Moses and Abraham, Gideon, they were this, they were that, and God used them. He puts your sin into a sea of forgiveness, and he tells you, don't look back, don't look back. I have made you white as snow. I clean you up. Now go forward. I know what you're going to be. Maybe you don't know what you're going to be, and that's a good thing. Because if someone had told me that I, Valerie George Bell, would be preaching the gospel, and me, Janice, and Rita, we don't even like to talk, Angeline, the people in my family, the only person that loved to talk was Peggy, that's Carolyn's mom. The rest of us would not utter a word. We didn't like to talk in front of people. And if they had said, oh, you're going to be preaching the gospel, I said, sure. That's what you think. But see, God knows your future. He knows your past. He knows your beginning. And he also knows your ending because he's God. He is God. He knows everything. And he puts your sin, whatever sin that you have committed, I don't care what it is, whatever you do, he puts it in a sea of forgiveness, and he uses you. He uses you for his glory. When he said speak, you speak. When he said be quiet, then you need to learn to be quiet. God is good. He said, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Now, where there is remission, these, then there is no longer an offering for sin. Life lesson, Hebrews 10:14. By one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Our salvation is both a finished project and an ongoing process. When it says finished, we are saved, and it's ongoing. He's saying the same thing. He's saying two different things, but the two different things mean the same thing. It's an ongoing process. You're being sanctified day by day. You're being clean day by day. And he's not going to be finished with you until the day you die. Through faith in Jesus, God made us right with him. And by the power of his Spirit, he enabled us to become more like the Jesus whose righteousness we have received. We have received the righteousness of the Most High God. And we've been cleaned up. Day by day, life lesson, Psalms 125:2. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. God surrounds his people like a thick wall surrounds ancient city. Cover us on every side that nothing can reach us without first passing through his loving hands. The best security system ever devised. If anything reaches you, it's by the will of God. And you might not understand it and don't want it, but when you go through stuff, God is allowing this to happen, and it happens for a reason. We don't understand why people suffer. We don't understand why this person is walking and that person is not walking. We don't understand the ways of Almighty God. But it says, he can reach it. Nothing can reach us without first passing through his loving hands, the best security system ever devised. God knows exactly what each and every one of us going through. He really do. Hebrews 10 and 4. It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. How can the goats and bulls take away sin if it is not possible? The shed blood of animals provide only a temporary covering of human sin. It can never fully and finally pay the penalty for that sin. Only the blood of the God-man, Jesus Christ, has the power to take away sin. If bulls and goats could take away sin, then God wouldn't have sent his son, his only begotten son, his only son, to take away sin. You know, that's really something. He died on the cross. That body, my Lord, that body did not want to go. He said, God, if it's possible, if it's all possible, take this away from me. Take it away from me. And he said it three times. But not my will, thy will be done. Not my will, Lord, your will be done. And on the cross, he said, my God, oh my God, why have thou forsaken me? Why? Why? Because God couldn't stand to look up on sin. He said, why? And then at the end, it is finished. When I think about the cross, the blood, and Jesus, it's finished. It's a sad time, and yet it's a happy time. It's sad that he had to go through so much for our salvation. And it's a happy time knowing that he did it for us, so that we might be saved. The Bible said you can use God's wisdom or you can use your own wisdom. You can make a choice. He don't force no one to be saved. You can make your own decisions, and that's what a mighty God. He's a mighty God. He could force his will on you if he wanted to, but he don't. He says, come to me. He reaches out his arms lovingly. Come to me. Come to me. All who are burdened and weary, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon on you. Learn of me. I'm not forcing you to do this, but come to me if you want to. Come to God if you want to. Then if you don't want to, you don't have to. But he stretches out his arms daily. You know, what really shocks me, and I'm really surprised and shocked, when there's people in the world still haven't heard about Jesus. There's people in the world that don't really know about Jesus. That, to me, that's amazing. Look like everybody should have known. And somebody, some people will say, you know, what? Or what? They still don't know. There's people that still don't know. God said the title is Vengeance is Mine, I Will Repay. The Lord will judge his people. So on Judgment Day, you can get up there and say, well, Lord, I don't know. And he said he'll put it into each and everybody's heart to inquire of him. You're supposed to inquire, why are there the trees? Why the sky, the birds, the bees? Why do I breathe? Why do I look like I look? Why do my body work the way it works? Inquire. He's put that into your mind. Inquire. Try to find out what's going on, because you will not have an excuse. Won't have an excuse. You will not. Oh, God is just good. He's good. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget.
Amen. Just want to say what a word this morning. And this is actually part one of Hebrews 10. And we'll have also the rest of it on tomorrow. And I'm so sorry, I kind of got all mixed up. But we'll have the rest of this tomorrow. And Mother Valerie will be finishing up this Hebrews 10 words on tomorrow. And I tell you, this word is so profane and profound, because God is wanting us to understand that vengeance is his, that everything that goes forth, he is in charge of. And I know Mother read what the Bible says, you know, that God, I love it, said, at the cross, God revealed his wrath against an unrighteousness judgment against him was carried out. One man, the virgin-born, sinless, incarnate Son of God, voluntarily offered himself to stand in our place and receive God's judgment for our sins. Jesus paid it all for us, and he don't ask much of us except for salvation. To do unto others as we would have them do unto us. Can I ask you the question? How would you feel if it was your house being bombed? How would
My
you
Lord.
Feel if it was a hospital with your baby in an incubator with electricity being cut off? How would you feel if it was you? And that's something that we as men and women of this government, this United States, need to think about, because our government tax dollars are going to fight over us. And we have to remember that God is in charge of everything, and we have to trust him always, believe in him always, and know that he is in charge of everything. God loves us so much. But before we get out of here, we're going to go into a word from Sister Carolyn. And all I can say is, whew, my sister is not working today because she is traveling, and I forgot about that. So we don't have a word yet from Sister Carolyn, but we will have a word tomorrow, I'm sure, when she lands at her destination. Sister Carolyn is on the case, but I do know that today is her travel day. But I do have a prayer this morning, and I pray for today on this 14th day of November. Out of hiding, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Proverbs 28:13. And we know that we just read that actually a few days ago. We're in Proverbs 28 right now. And Mother just read verse 22 this morning. And it goes on to tell us, Holy One, you cover every one of my sins with the mercy that flows freely from your throne. I don't hide myself from you. You see everything done in secret. I need the power of your love to cover me with your love and to lift me up out of the spiral of shame. You are better than I expect every time in humility. I offer every part of me for your inspection. Your mercy has free access to my heart. Your sight, your light shines, and I find that I am seized by your affection. You don't hesitate. The love knocks out every fear, and the reluctance that I had disappears. Thank you for the mercy that meets with me when my experiences with others has me expecting disappointment and guilt trips. You lift every weight, and my happiness is traded for joy that sets my feet dancing. I can't help but rejoice, Lord. You're always better to me than I anticipate. And the question as we wrap up this morning is, what is keeping you from coming to the Lord with all that you are? And that is our word, knowing vengeance belongs to God, part one. The Lord is always with us. Again, vengeance is mine. I will repay. The Lord will judge his people. We don't need to be in the judging business. We give it to God and keep it moving. And Mother, that's all we got this morning. Family,
Amen.
Thank you for listening in to Mother
Amen.
Valerie and myself this morning. And we pray our prayer, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, we pray over you and yours. Family, have a blessed and wonderful day. Enjoy this crisp morning where we are. Enjoy the dew in the morning. Let it saturate your heart. Let it saturate your mind and your spirit, knowing that Jesus is the morning dew. Have a blessed day, family. Mother Valerie, guess what? It's a wrap.
It is a wrap. It's a wrap.
I got to take a little person to school this morning. And I just have to give this quick testimony, family. I know the second wrap, Thomas, community choir, and it's dealing with him. And he was singing, "Great is thy faithfulness." And I just sat there, and this little guy, he was singing his little heart out last night. And I thought, look at my baby showing up and showing out last night. He was just adorable. And, you know, he was singing so hard. And the song they're singing is "The Steadfast Love." And then it says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases." And we all know that that's, of course, a song. And so they're teaching also scripture as they teach to them. And then it goes into "Greatest thy faithfulness." And I thought, look at, and he caught on that quick because it was his first practice last night. And he had the words down, and he had the nuance. And he was singing his heart out. And then I had to laugh because one of his classmates was there, who is the PK grandbaby. And I had to laugh. I said, "Now, is he singing out because he's sitting by his little girlfriend classmate? Or is he singing out because he just likes to sing?" And he is very musical. He likes to bang on the piano whenever he comes to my house, too. So, but I just had to say that we got to pour into our children and watch them pour out to us. And that's all I got. And this time I promise y'all, is Mother and my final closing for our Mother for our fifth and final closing.
You know what? Wait a minute, Pastor. Wait just one more minute. I was looking at the picture, and the picture got the fall colors and the dew, and it looks like snow. I say, God, that looks remarkable. It is so, so beautiful. And if that had been snow, my Lord, with the fall colors and the snow on the ground, that picture is just a picture that I think I'm going to have blown up. That is just so beautiful. I mean, you're like I am. Anytime I see something that beautiful, I have to take a picture of it. Your daughter after my own home. It's totally beautiful. I'm going to blow that one up.
And you're a mother and after now, mine. Really is our fifth and final closing. We thank you guys for listening in this morning. Mother and I, we both get giddy for Jesus, and we can't help ourselves but just think about the goodness of God. So, family, enjoy your day. Look around. Look at what God has created. Look at the sun and the sky and the trees and the grass and the dew in the morning. Look at it all and just know that as you look at the fall colors, the reds and the greens and the oranges and the yellows and all the beauty that comes from God, that God did it and that he loves us. And then look at yourself and all of us as humanity and all our different hues. We're like a plethora and a palette of different hues and colors, just like the earth that God created. We are all that and more because he gave us a part of himself. So we are blessed beyond measure. So thank God today that he gave you another day. Don't worry about yesterday because yesterday is past and today is today. And love God like he loves you. That's it. Have a great day. Mother, is this our final question? I think it is. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
We love y'all. It's a wrap.